Open your Bibles to Luke 18. Put a marker in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. We've been on a journey here for a little while. These last few messages I've done at the main services, beginning with the one that's, we named it Kingdom Jurisdiction. There's four messages there that really go together. But then I've had about 2 weeks here to go over those again myself and pray. And really what the Lord is doing, he's finishing a message that I did quite a while back when we went to Luke 11 and took another look at praying down the bread. How many of y'all remembered that? Where we went to Luke 11 and so tonight I think what he's going to do is we're going to reach back and capture that and then bring it right into the midst of what we've been teaching these last few weeks. The Holy Ghost gave me a dream, and I'm going to share that dream with you. I want to let him ask you the same question he asked me. Okay, now, so let's read this in Luke 18 first. And I know it's a real familiar passage. And starting in verse 35. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace." Don't let anybody stop you from getting your miracle. I don't care what religion says, and I don't care what man says. You can have your miracle. But I get ahead of myself. "They which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God." I had a dream during this last 2 weeks. And in the dream, Jesus was passing by. And he turned to me in the crowd. I wasn't like this one saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. But as he passed by, he just turned to me personally. I was just in a crowd. And he asked me the same thing that he asked that man. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Now, in plain English, how would we say that today? What do you want? What do you want from God? What do you want from God's Word? And how can you have it? And I wrote some things about that. I said, well, if Jesus came and spent... Yeah, as I thought about that, I thought, what would life be like? How would life be different if somehow Jesus could manifest himself to me for one day and I could have him all to myself, the fully manifested Christ, I could have him all to myself for one day. After that day, how would life be different? Well, instantly, a lot of doctrinal issues were settled in my mind. For example, I have real elderly parents. Mom's 89, Dad's 90. Both of them are legally blind, although they can both see to some degree, but they have macular degeneration. So it's real difficult for them. Now, my mother, she's a spry young thing at 89, very mentally active and very much aware and really good health. In fact, the only medicine she takes is a little mild blood pressure medicine. That's not bad for 89. My dad, on the other hand, is bedfast and been bedfast for over a year. And I don't think he knows who I am anymore. He can't communicate. So it's a lot more serious with my dad. Well, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I know a lot of scriptures for healing. Lots of scriptures about healing. But, you know, it gets a little more touchy when you're talking about old age, you know. But see, when I had that thought, now what if I had Jesus? Me and Jesus walking into that room with my dad. And he asked me, what would you have me do for you? You think my dad's staying on that bed? You think my mom and dad is going to continue to have macular degeneration? We've got to come out of religion into life. A real relationship with the living Jesus. Because I'm here to tell you right now, that is exactly what God's Word is asking you every single day. And God our Father is asking through His Word, what would you have me do for you? What would you have me do for you? Now go to John just for a moment. The Gospel of John, Big John. When Jesus was, when we see him walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is the second member of the Godhead. He is God clothed in flesh. He is also the Son of Man. He calls himself both. Son of Man, Son of God, and he is both. But John had the purest revelation, I think, of the Jesus that we see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We'll just start in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now come on down to verse 14 for our purposes tonight. And the Word was made flesh. Say that with me. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Jesus that we see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're told here by John. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. But for tonight's purposes, let me say it like John said it. Jesus, He is the Word of God made flesh. It's as if God's Word took on humanity and walks up to you. Now, God's Word has been God's Word for eternity. That's what John was conveying here. God's Word is God's Word. Doesn't change, does He? There's no shadow of turning, no darkness in Him at all, and God changes not. His Word does not change. But it's like during this short period of history that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the prophets used to tell you that they would say, God is a healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. God would make covenant with man and they would try to believe it. Most of them didn't. But it's like for this period of history, the Word of God, the very Word of God itself, clothed with flesh and walks up to you and says, everything God has promised is yours for the asking. What would you have me do for you? I noticed the blind man. They're bringing a blind man. We look at that situation and we go, it's pretty obvious what the man needs. No. He doesn't tell you what you need. He asks you what you want. Now that's really important. You know what this goes back to? How many times has Dave said, the man thought he was praying about his new pickup because that's what he thought he needed? God's looking at him and says, no, what he needs really is to stop yelling at his wife. But see, God leaves it up to you to ask what you want. What is it that you want from God? If you had one day with God's Word made flesh, and for that one day you could get anything you want, anything that agrees with God, how would life be different? Go to Luke 11. Because Jesus told us precisely how to get what you want from God, not only for yourself, but also for others. And he didn't leave it in, can I use nebulous, mamby-pamby, wishy-washy, maybe so, kind of sometimes, throw the dice, see if you get an answer. He didn't leave it like that. The way he taught it was you can have your answer every single time if you'll do it God's way. Luke 11, is that where I said go? I did good. Put your finger also, I want you to pinch together, find Mark 11:24 and Luke 11 and pinch them together for a minute. Luke 11, let's go there first. If you had been the 12 and you had been following Jesus and you'd watch a pattern with him, you know, Jesus, he would go off and spend all night praying to God. He would get alone by himself. And they'd watch him do that. Boy, then he'd come out and minister. And I mean, devils would come out. People be flopping like chickens. That one guy, that lunatic spirit, when it come out, it said it tore at that boy so much, he dropped like one dead, and they thought he was dead. Raised him up, and he was fine, you know. Blind eyes open. How about the maimed? How about services where you go and you watch legs grow out, where there was no leg? Watch eyeballs form where there were no eyeballs. It says every kind of disease. And then they'd watch him. He'd go off and he'd pray. And he'd come back. Pow, bam, power. If you had the chance, wouldn't you ask him to teach you to pray too? Well, they did exactly that here in Luke 11. They're going, came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. John taught his guys how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? In other words, we see what happens after you pray. We notice when we pray, it ain't happening like that. Would you teach us to pray? So, doesn't that sound like the secret of the ages? We're about to get the wisdom from the inner counsel of God to God, God the Son to God the Father. And of all things, when he starts teaching them, it's a prayer we all learned in Sunday school. What we typically call the Lord's Prayer. And I got to tell you now, this is a little sidebar. I got to tell you, only in the last week have I understood why so many prayers don't get answered. Good, sincere, God-loving people, including yours truly. And I've got a better understanding tonight than I've ever had in my life why so many prayers go unanswered. And the key is right here. Exactly, he told us. All the way back here, what it is. For additional tapes by Gary Carp. No, okay. So he starts teaching them. And he said unto them, when you pray, say. Now see, this is real familiar to us. We've heard this since childhood. But to say our Father to God, to say our Father about God to them, they didn't really consider God to be their Father. And to be honest, at that moment, he wasn't the Father of their spirit. After the cross, then they were empowered to be born again and God could become their Father. You know, Galatians will tell you that we're made children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You become his offspring when you become born of his nature. But he's telling them ahead of time, he's saying, now, when you pray, pray like this. And I can't go into great detail on this prayer tonight. That would be a whole conference in itself. There's one aspect of it that I want to get across to us tonight. Because what he's doing now, we're going full circle tonight, all the way back to that one I did about praying down the bread, to these last four messages, and he's showing us, he's tying something together in a way I've never seen it so well as I see it tonight, and you're going to see it. So he says, our Father which art in heaven. Now that's an important phrase, our Father which art in heaven. If you'll listen to those four messages I just did, you'll find out part of the reason why to pray? The refrigerator you're trying to get a sandwich from is not on this planet. We're living here. Who does the Bible say is the God of this world? It's for benefit of the tape. There are actually people here. I'm not preaching in my closet. Who does the Bible say is the God of this world? The devil. And that's after the cross, is it not? That's in the epistles. He's still the God of this world. And until we get a new planet, a new earth, the first Adam, you have to have a body from him to have dominion here. And I went into great detail on this in those messages. People say, well, in a family, you know, like Dave taught, it says, my boys don't come to me and ask if they can have a ham sandwich. They just go to the refrigerator and get it. Well, so will we in the new heavens and the new earth. But right now, you're living on this planet that is a fallen world where the Bible says Satan is the God of this world. You're wanting to get answers from our Father who is in heaven. He's still living in the realm of the Spirit. So that analogy of I need a sandwich, Father, for somebody on earth. The problem is that refrigerator you're trying to get it from isn't here, it's there. And prayer is actually like a legal transaction to receive from the realm of the Spirit to have it manifest in the realm of the material. That's good stuff right there. Get those other four messages, okay? So that's important. Our Father which art in heaven, those words aren't in there just by for no reason, okay? Hallowed be thy name. He is the only God. He is your only father. You have no father but God. Now, I have an earthly father of my flesh, but there's only one father of my spirit, and that is God. You got that? That's why you don't have, sidebar again, you don't have a generational curse. Not the way they teach it. Now, you may have strongholds in your mind passed down from your family to you, and there may be genetics that you need a miracle to overcome. But as far as those spiritual curses that they say your great, 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 great grandpappy cussed out an Indian or did something ugly to a slave or something, now I'm just telling you, that is not passed down to you. That is not your father. When you get born again, you have a new genealogy and you only go back one generation and God is your father. And he didn't give you no curse. Okay? All right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now get it straight. Prayer doesn't work when you're opposing God. How would I oppose God? Father, I earnestly desireth that you give me that man's wife for my wife. Those kind of prayers are not going to be answered. Father, I pray that you would bless my cocaine business. That's not going to get answered. Father, I pray that you would straighten out Pastor Dave. He obviously doesn't know what he's doing, you know. Yeah, you little self-exalting rascal, you. You know? No. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done for you, see? You got to spend time in the Word. You spend time in prayer. You begin to develop. You'll find out what your calling is. Maybe it takes a while to find that out, but you'll find out the next step. And you'll find out, you know, the Holy Spirit will help you with your petitions. What happens as you do that, as you abide in Him and His words abide in you, your prayers line up with God's will anyway. You start seeing Him for who He is. He's not the curse bringer. He is the deliverer from the curse. He's not out putting cancer on people to straighten them out. He's out there getting cancer off of them to heal them. And your prayers will line up, okay? But it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, religion, all the time I run into this, real nice. I'm sure they're on their way to heaven. Yeah, I am sure. But boy, they've got a mixed up idea about God. You know, they think they'll say things like, well, God's will, he's what's that word? Sovereign, that's it. He's already, whatever he said for you, how dare you pray? He decided to put that cancer on you, and how dare you come against his will? Listen, if everything that's going on out there is already God's will, why on earth did Jesus say, pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven? I mean, those guys will paint the exact opposite picture of who your father is. And you can't receive from him if you think he's like that. See, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of God, all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's not God's will that those people be blind. It's not his will that they be lame. It's not his will that they lie there sick and in pain. Jesus went around to show them who the Father is. He told Philip, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, I don't see Jesus going around putting sickness on anybody, do you? I don't see him going around destroying anybody's business. They'd fish all night, didn't catch anything. He'd give them an instruction, they obey it, and they'd catch so much fish it's about to sink their boat. A lot of you businessmen, recession is a great time to prosper if you know how to hear God. Millionaires today bought up all that Dust Bowl land back in the 30s, got it for pennies on the dollar. Millionaires, generations for generations because of it. But I digress. I haven't even got to it here yet. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Now, get it straight. Everywhere that Jesus teaches about faith and everywhere that Jesus teaches about prayer, you're not going to get many prayers answered walking around full of strife and unforgiveness all the time. So, well, I can't forgive. That's lie number one. Yes, you can. Well, it's hard. Now you're telling the truth. I know it's hard. It's real hard sometimes. I've told you about that incident I had where God told me, he says, well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't forgive those two. And I said, I don't want to forgive them. I don't even want you to bless them. I want them to die and I want to do the killing. I'm getting some raised hands. Well, he told me, he says, no, he says, you're not going to go very far with me. You're going to have to forgive them. I'm going, I mean, there was nothing in me, nothing. I searched my heart, nothing in me that wanted to forgive them, nothing. He said, he asked me a question. Thank God he did. He says, are you willing to be made willing to forgive them? And I had to think about that. Let's see now, if I was willing. See, I'm not willing right now. But if he made me willing, then I guess I would be willing. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you could make me willing, then I'd be willing. He gave me the most simple instruction. He says, I don't want you to go through any great intercessory or anything. All I want you to do, every time you think of them, just pray that I'll bless them. That's all. Just pray that I'll bless them. Well, my first prayer wanted to be, I don't want to think of them very often. I'm using this as an example. Now, he may not do it that way with you, but I'm telling you, if you sincerely want to get your prayers answered, you're going to have to let God help you forgive people. And he'll help you. Long story short, I started praying for him, and I was real honest with God. I remember the first time I did it, I thought of him. I went, oh, man. All right, and I called their names out. All right, God, I'm asking you to bless them, and you know I don't mean it. He knew it. That was okay, though. I was obeying him. So every time I'd think of him, I'd say that prayer. Father, I just pray that you bless him. And you know, over the course of a week or two, that last part, and you know I don't mean it, it just kind of dropped off. Over a period of time, he began to change my heart, and what really happened, he began to show me my part in the transgression. Oh yeah, we're always so righteous when we only see it from one point of view. A lot of times when you see yourself from his point of view, you're the one begging for mercy then. And by the time that was over, I was in more trouble with God than they were. What I mean is I was needing forgiveness worse than I needed to forgive them. Well, anyway, the whole point is don't be telling me you can't forgive. Yes, you can. And if you're not able at this point, ask God to help you. Now, and if he gives you an instruction, just do that. Just do that. Okay, but that's not really the message either. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What we want to focus on is verse 3, because that's what Jesus focuses on in the rest of his teaching. Give us day by day our daily bread. There is only one time in history where God gave people bread on a day-by-day basis. Normally, that's not the way God gives bread into the earth. How do you normally get bread into the earth? Seed time and harvest. You sow seed, you water the ground, you wait as the nature cycle, spring, summer, winter, fall, goes through its cycle. You watch it harvest, you gather in the wheat, you separate the wheat from the chaff, you grind it, you bake it, and finally you've got bread. But now you've got bread for a season now, not day by day. There was only one time in history where God gave people bread day by day, every day, and just enough bread for the day, by the way. Rhymes. Bread for the day, by the way. Anyway. And that was, of course, during the time of the manna. Well, Jesus told us he is our manna. He is our daily bread. He is our manna, day by day. Doesn't do any good to try and store up Jesus. You need Jesus every day, not only for yourself, but for everybody around you. Trust me, people around you need more of Jesus in you. You missed a good place, but anyway. What does my family need? More of Jesus and Daddy. Okay. Give us day by day our daily bread. But now the kind of bread he's talking about here, really, remember the context. They were asking him how to pray because of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that they saw. And they're going, teach us how to pray. Well, he comes to that right there. He says, give us day by day our daily bread. Now, over in Mark's account, he talks more about forgiveness afterwards. But in this account, he starts talking more about the bread. So let's go right into his example to them. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. 3 loaves of what? Bread. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So what's the situation? A friend has come. They have a need. You don't have the answer. You don't have the bread to give them. So you're coming to somebody else. In this case, God. Well, not in this case, but before we're through here, you're going to come to God to get the bread. They had asked him, teach us to pray. When we pray, we want to be able to deliver the bread like we see you deliver the bread. When you pray and come minister, boy, they receive from God. Teach us how to do that. So he's saying, which of you having a friend will go to him and say, verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now stop right there. During my journey through these years of meditation, one time the Holy Spirit asked me a question right here, and he says, you have any friends like that? And I got to thinking, my real, just natural friends. I got Lynn over here as a friend. Now she may not like it if I call her at 2 a.m. Said, Lynn, I got a problem. You can help me, Lynn. Would you please help me? Now she'll go, do you know it's 2 a.m? But she's going to give me, if it's in her power, she's my friend, she's going to give me what I need. Same with Steve, same with Sandy. I could go right now. I don't really have any friends that would just say no. And Jesus is saying, even if you had somebody that was that ugly, that mean-tempered, even if you persist, even from that person, you could get it. Isn't that right? But now notice, here's the see, and most of the world thinks that's how God is. That's why you sit through those messages where they'll teach you, you got to storm the gates of heaven. You're trying to get a bread from God, and you got to storm the gates and make petition and bang and pound. And they use this very passage, ask and seek and knock, and you're hoping he'll crack open the door just a little bit and throw you out a biscuit. Slam the door shut again. Beg some more. Maybe I'll get up and give you a crumb this time, you know. Maybe I'll give you 2 biscuits. And he's using this very passage to teach the opposite. He says, that's what people think God is like. He says, but I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. How strong is those words? For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. Then he goes from a friend situation. Now he's going to a family situation. He said, which of you having a friend? Now he says, if a son. Now he's got into our covenant. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? In other words, no. If you then, being evil compared to God, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, not just an answer, but the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, why in the world did he phrase it like that? Who do you think it is that casts out devils? See, in this very next passage, let's just read. Let's continue like there's no paragraph thing either. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. All devils are dumb. Anyway. Well, this one couldn't speak. This was a non-speaking devil. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spoke, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. And he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now I've got all that to get to this, verse 20. How is he really doing it? But if I, with the finger of God, with the Holy Spirit, he is the molecule changer. He is the enforcer. He is, these devils want you to think they're so big. Oh, I will kill you, your family, your whole nation. I will. I'm big, I'm something. And God comes along with his finger. Flick. Flick. Notice it doesn't take the hand of God. Just a finger. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. And he's showing them, that's how my prayer, that's how the bread comes. It is these answers that you see happening when I come out of prayer, that's happening because God anointed me with the Holy Ghost. He is the bread delivery machine. How do you say it? He's the molecule changer. He is the enforcer of God's word. Mm. And it doesn't matter what you need. If God doesn't have it, he'll make it for you. Light be. There wasn't any. Light be. The Holy Ghost, light was. Made it. From nothing. I always liked the first miracle. The water changed to wine. You know why I like it? Because my engineering mind knows that water is comprised of H2O. There is no grape. It doesn't say H2O plus Concord, H2O plus red seedless. What you H2O grape? There's no grape in water. There's no nothing to ferment. Yet the Holy Spirit. That was really a miracle for water to go from water, hydrogen and oxygen molecules to become wine. Fermented grape. I know a lot of people say it's grape juice. Mm-hmm. You try giving grape juice to a bunch of drunk folks and see if they say it's the best. You just try it. It ain't going to work. Oh, you save the best to last. Yeah? That's not what's going to happen. That was a creative miracle. There was no grape there. That was created from nothing. Yet your problems are probably too hard for the Holy Ghost. See, I'm talking about me too. My macular degeneration. Gee, that's probably too hard. No, it's not. The problem is us. I still remember that old Pogo cartoon from right after World War II that my mom saved. Pogo, probably most of you don't know who that is an old cartoon strip. And he come back to give a report. He says, I have met the enemy, and he is us. I found the reasons for our prayers not being answered, and it is us. Now, I want you to watch this. Why, out of all of that prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, why did Jesus focus on the bread? Because he knew what they were really asking him about. They're interested in results. They'd watch him go pray and come out and deliver the bread, and they're going, how in the world can we ever get where we can deliver the bread like that? So he's answering their prayer, and he's focusing on that one aspect. And now, Mark 11:24, pinch that, and now go over to Mark 11:24 for a moment. I cut my teeth on this verse when I first got saved in 1980, trying to comprehend this. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them. Go back over to, keep it pinched, go back over to Luke 11. He says, when you come to the Father and ask for the bread, what you believe about him has a lot to do with what's going to happen. If you think he's that stingy guy behind the wall that is reluctant to give it to you, and you're going to have to storm the gates of heaven and like the prophet, you know, like the prophets of Baal, you're going to cut your skin and do all kinds of flaky things. And he says, that is not your Father at all. He says, why does he expound on this, the nature of God and his willingness to answer your prayer? Because if you don't believe that you receive it when you pray, you're not going to have it. See, that's called faith. And it ties the hand of God. I told you earlier, I finally understand why the vast majority of Christian prayers from God-loving, good people that love God, go to church, doing the best to raise their families, why most of the prayers are not answered. They're not prayed in faith. They're not prayed according to this pattern. Most people, if you ask them, how will you know if your prayer was answered? Well, when I see the result. And that is the opposite of what Jesus said. How will you know he gave you the bread? Well, if I see the result. How will you know he heard you and answered you? Well, if I see the manifestation. In other words, if I see it, then I will believe it. And that is the exact opposite of what he taught. Now look at it in your Bible. Don't look at me, look down. If you didn't bring a Bible, act like you did. Look down. No, I'm teasing. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Everyone that asks receives, he says. The blind man, he asked him, what do you want? He didn't quibble, did he? He could have gotten it. Boy, you talk about an open. What do you want me to do for you? Do you know that? You know, the Word of God was made flesh standing in front of that blind man. Do you know that same Word of God is in heaven today, glorified at the right hand of the Father? But the Word of God is asking every single person, every one of you right now, what would you have me do for you? And it's not any more complicated than what the blind man did. Ask, believe you receive it, then you'll have it. Now in that case, and in every case in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they received instantly. Because there was the Word just manifested right there. How did John say it? He had the Holy Spirit without measure. I mean, you just received instant manifestation. It doesn't always work that way with us. Have you noticed? Sometimes there's a standing. Sometimes there's a period where you got to believe you receive it. And you may not actually have it for some time later. But in the meantime, what do? You believe that he heard you when you prayed. And you believe he's that guy behind the door going, yes, yes, you can have it. You came and asked me, yes, I'm a good father. I want you to have this. Yes, it's yours. Yes, it's yours. And every circumstance from hell will line up to tell you it did not work. And right there, we're going to find out if you're living by faith or living by sight. And yours truly the same. There is no exceptions for this. This is why the vast majority of prayers don't get answered, because we're praying this sincerely. It's not like they're praying something wrong. Oh, Father, I pray that Uncle Johnny be healed. I pray that, you know, this happened. I pray that that happened. And then, but they walk away going, if you was to ask them and interview them, say, well, how will you know if that prayer got answered? Well, we'll see. And what they mean is, well, I'll know it got answered once I see the manifestation. And that is exactly the opposite of faith. That's not what Jesus taught. And that's why he labored here. He's in Luke 11. I see it so clear now. It goes right along with Mark 11, 24. He's going, look, I'll teach you guys to pray. I'll show you how to pray down the bread. And by the way, you can have bread not just for yourself. See, that guy wanted bread for himself. How about the centurion? He didn't come for anything for himself. He come for his servant. How about the woman that had a daughter at home, grievously vexed of a devil? She didn't even have a covenant with God. And she comes, she says, I need something for my daughter. See, you can get whatever you need from God's word. He's asking you the question today, what would you have me do for you? But we're going to have to receive it God's way. We got to go to him and ask. And then believe we receive it when we pray. Now, during his sojourn here on earth with them, they came to him. He was the Word made flesh. And of course you would come to Jesus during that time period. I go over to John just for a moment. John 16. I'm starting to understand there's no such thing as faith without knowing your Father. You've got to know him. You have got to know him. This goes right along with the worship messages. Goes right along with praying in tongues. Praying in tongues will deliver you from a lot of deception about who God is. Meditation of the Word, real meditation. I wish, I pray, I desire, I hope, people would just do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John till they get a vision of who Jesus is. Because he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're not going to see him doing a third of the stuff that religion will blame on God. You don't see him doing anything like that. Yet he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See? Well, you have to know God. You have to know him. That's why praying in tongues will deliver you a lot of revelation knowledge. But worship is an intimate thing. I heard one preacher say it this way one time. I think I've heard Dave say it. I've heard Mark say it recently. But it's like God will come and, you know, you're trying to worship him and really worship him. Get to know him. You're not, in that case, not necessarily trying to get anything from God. You're just, I just came to worship you. I want to be in your presence. And maybe it's dry as cracker juice, as Dave says. You know, I love you. Splat. Get the spatula. Throw it back up to God. I love you, really. Splat. You know, but every now and then, you're there worshiping in your little dusty-throated thing. You know, but he'll come and he'll, just for a moment, maybe just for a little bit, I love you too. Or I love you more. I think I heard Alan say that. I love you more. And boy, just for a moment. Oh, he's here. Oh, thank you. And God came and he hugged on you just for a moment. Hallelujah. And then he backs off a little bit. He says, now, come a little farther. Oh, man. It got dusty again. I love you. But what'll happen this time, you'll go a little farther into him. And he'll embrace you and you'll feel his presence. And then he'll say, come on. This is working. Come on. And eventually, they said Smith Wigglesworth. One time they kind of challenged him a little bit. They brought in like 20 high-level ministers at a conference, and they were all going to worship God. No lay people, just ministers. He said as they began to worship God, he said the atmosphere became so thick with God's presence. One by one by one, the ministers left. And finally, there was no one left but Smith. He was the only one that could breathe that atmosphere. It just got to be too much. They couldn't stand the presence of God to that degree, but that was the atmosphere that he lived in. It's good stuff. But we've got to know him. And that's why Jesus labored. I finally see it in Luke 11. He's going, look, your faith has got more to do with whether your prayers get answered than God. God isn't changing. His will's already made up. His mind is already made up. The problem is not on his end. You are going to have to believe. Who do you think he is? You think he's the guy that would get, go away, leave me alone, I'm in bed, shut up, I ain't giving you nothing. Do you think he's the kind you got to storm the gates of heaven till he throws you a biscuit out the door? Or do you think he's just waiting for your prayer just to make a crack in that door? I mean, just the tiniest little crack, and I mean God's light, his provision, everything he is will come rushing through there. You'll have more miracles than you know what to do with. That's our Father. And he says, your faith has... Why teach on that if it's not important? Your faith... Who... He said, your faith in his willingness. Your faith in his willingness has more to do with the answer to that prayer than God himself. Whew. Yeah, I said it out loud. I did. That's why he taught it. There's no reason to teach it if that's not the reason. He's going, if you don't understand that's who your Father is, that bread ain't coming. And it's not because he doesn't want you to have it. You can't receive it that way. It's some, and I grant you, I don't totally understand all of that. I know it's a legal thing between heaven and earth. It's got to do with faith. It has to do with Adam's lack of faith in the very beginning. When he chose to believe what his senses told him instead of what God said. God said, if you eat that of the fruit of that tree, you're going to die. And the devil comes and says to Eve, no, if you eat of it, you will not die. In fact, God knows that if you eat it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like little gods yourself. You'll know good and evil. You won't have to depend on him to tell you good and evil. You can decide for yourself. In other words, you can be your own little god. Well, it says Adam was there with her during that whole discourse. So she went ahead and ate of the fruit, whatever it was. Adam's watching her. Said he was standing there with her. He's watching to see if she falls down dead. What God say? The day you eat of it, you're going to die. Now we know, you know, you all do know Adam didn't have a Bible, right? We know that she died spiritually. See, we know that, but he didn't know that. So he's watching her. She doesn't fall down dead. He's watching her. God said you'd die. The devil said you won't die. I watched her eat it. She's still standing there. Looking pretty good, actually. You know? I don't... Anyway. If Eve was to Adam like Sue is to Gary, she's looking really good. Anyway. And that's at 63. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway. So he had to make a choice. God's word said, if we ate that fruit, we'll die. The devil says, or no, he didn't know it was the devil. That serpent said, we won't die, and I just watched my wife eat it. And she's still standing there. I have to make a decision now because she's offering me the fruit. Now I got to make a decision. My five physical senses, everything I see, tells me God's word is not true. I've got to make a decision. I can't stay neutral here. Hand me that fruit. I'm going to make a decision in favor of what my five physical senses tell me instead of God's word. And that right there, lack of faith, was the door out of the garden. It was the door out of all of the free blessings of God. And that's why in our dispensation, faith in God's word, in spite of what your five physical senses tell you, is the only way back in. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. That's why when you ask, when you pray, you have to believe you receive it. You got to know your Father well enough that he will answer that prayer. You believe you receive it when you pray. He is the good Father standing behind that door, and He's going to ask. You'll receive, seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. Believe it, receive it now. No matter what your five physical senses say to you, I believe I have received it. Time may go by, but He says if you believe you receive it when you pray, He'll make sure you have it. Amen. Sooner or later, you will have it. Our job is to believe we receive it. I told you about that guy that had his pancreas had not created insulin for 30 years. 30 years! He began to hear teaching along this line. He finally got it. It took him 14 years. I say by faith, it's not going to take you 14 years to get this. It took him 14 years to finally get it and believe he received when he prayed. Do you ask any doctor, if a guy's pancreas hasn't worked in 30 years, is it ever going to start producing insulin again? That guy's did. They had to take him off the insulin shots. And when he was asked, how did that miracle happen? He said, it finally dawned on me what Jesus was saying. He says, I kept thinking I'd be healed once the manifestation came. But that's not what Jesus said. He said for me to believe I received it when I prayed. So I prayed and I believed I received it. And every time I'd take an insulin shot, I'd still be saying, I believe I received my healing, Jesus. I thank you. I believe I received my healing. I believe I receive it. And he said, the devil would shout at me, you're still taking insulin. You don't have it. He said, Jesus didn't say for me to say I had it. He said for me to believe I received it. And if I believe I receive it, he'll make sure that I do have it. And he did. Glory to God. Our job is to believe we receive when we pray. Now I'm seeing. I've always known that to some degree, but I'm seeing it so much clearer now. Because of the Holy Spirit merging Luke 11 with Mark 11. Yeah, Luke 11 with Mark 11, 24. You got to know your Father. You got to know He's. If you ask, you're going to receive. You've got to know that. It goes right along. That's why He taught it. He says, look, this won't work for you if you don't. If you think He's the guy that's going to throw you out a biscuit or He's just not going to give it to you. If you think that's the way He is, your bread ain't coming. But if you'll know that everyone, how did he phrase it again? Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, the doors open. Are you an everyone? I think revival is coming. I think Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper and just your normal child of the living God. In the parks, in the schools, on your job, at Walmart. I love it now. People slain in the spirit in the line at Walmart. You know, receiving sight and old guys, you know, throwing away their wheelchairs. I don't need that anymore, you know. Legs growing out, eyeballs forming at the line at Walmart. Why not? Why not? Glory to God. Now the question is, here we come back around to it. See, in the dream that was, if Jesus would come and spend one day with me, if the Word made flesh would come and just spend one day with me and would ask me the same question he asked that blind man, what would you have me do for you? Now here it is. The Word is with you. You've got a Bible, probably two or three at home. And God's Word is asking you today, what would you have me do for you? What would you have me do for you? You can have what you want. Jesus says, what things soever you desire. That's got to line up with Him. He won't bless your cocaine business again, okay? But as long as it lines up with Him, He says, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Your Father's the good Father. He's the one that's eager. He's more eager for you to have that answer than you are to have it yourself. How would life be different if we start getting those kind of prayers really answered? Not only for you. Say, now, religion will come see you. Well, yes, he's just talking about bread for others. He's talking about bread for both. That blind man came, he received his sight. The centurion came, he received healing for his servant. The woman came whose daughter was grievously vexed of a devil. She received for her daughter. The man with the lunatic son came, and he received for his son. Jairus came, his daughter was so sick she died, and Jesus raised her from the dead. Just, what is the question? What would you have me do for you? God is asking. Well, the key to answered prayer is believe. You receive when you pray, but now I understand better why. Why it's easier. It's easier for me to believe that the more I know Him. The more I understand. You know, a simple little verse that's really becoming one of my favorites. I'm going to close on this, if you're lucky. Dave's looking at his watch like, what? You know when that rich young ruler came to Jesus and says he came running up, you know. And he wanted to become, really I think he wanted to become on Jesus' board, you know. He was a rich guy and they're used to getting on the board. And what must I do to be made perfect, you know. And he starts off though, he's flattering Jesus. Good master, what must I do? And here's the thing that's really, of all the little verses in the Bible, the one that's really, I'm seeing now, me not understanding this verse is one of the main reasons why a lot of my prayers haven't been answered. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. And He really is. I know we sing that song, you know, God is good all the time. He's gooder than you think He is. That's what Jesus is teaching in Luke 11. He's gooder than you think He is. He is more eager for you to have your prayer answered than you are to have it answered yourself. Your problem's not with Him. He doesn't change. His word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His will has not changed. It never will change. It's all there for us if we can ever learn to receive by faith. I'm a good student. How about you? You good student? Hallelujah. Well, I think we've come full circle now. It's not just bread for other people. It's bread for you. Bread for you. Give us this day. And the type goes right back to the manna again. The idea was everybody went out and gathered manna. Some gathered more than others. Some gathered more than others. So if you had too much, what do? You share it. If you don't have enough, you'll be given enough. Just don't try and keep it overnight. See, and this is the other thing too. I want to do this one time. I want to get anointed for a lifetime. And then I don't have to do this anymore. Give us day by day. You can't keep it overnight. You try and do that, by tomorrow it stinketh and you'll be on TV in some kind of scandal. You need this fellowship day by day. All right, I think, did y'all get anything out of that? Oh, I like it myself. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Well, we're going to go ahead and, I thank God for all the answered prayer we have seen. I have seen more miracles in this church than I've ever seen anywhere else. I know miracles happen other places, but I personally have seen more here. But I know, and you know, and Dave knows, God wants to do a whole lot more than He's been able to do in the past. He wants Tommy out of the chair. He wants my dad out of the bed. He wants Victoria to have her manifestation of her brain. He wants to do so much more. And you know what? I got a feeling it won't take any more than His little finger. The things that we think are so tough, flick, what he's looking for is a people that knows Him well enough to really receive by faith when we pray. All right, I'll quit this time. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord. We're looking forward to this conference, Father. I'm looking forward to what all You're going to do. Father, I expect to see miracles. I expect lives to be changed. People fed in every way, spirit, soul, and body. Father, I expect marriages to be put back together. Father, just thank You for healings. And just, Father, have Your way. Have Your way, Father. Father, help us be Your servants. Help us be Your vessels to minister to these people that are coming. Father, thank You so much for Your word. We give You praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.